You need a supportive family. If you're going to achieve anything, you have to have support. You don't achieve anything by yourself. Nobody does. So, you know, they have a strong family foundation, and if you give them that, they can do whatever it is that they want to do. It's giving them the support, but also giving them the reins and the confidence to know that they are capable of doing things for themselves.
That's Kimiko Lawrence, joined by her husband Mark and son Anthony, who recently became the first African-American male officer to graduate from the Air Force's Pilot Training Next program. Let's travel to Georgia to listen to their story. Grab a seat by the fire. This is the Homeschool Project Podcast. Everyone, just wanted to let everybody know that while we were recording this episode, we had some technical difficulties. We had some torrential downpours up here in northeastern Ohio. We ended up losing connection, losing internet, but we did the best we could to put it back together, and we hope you enjoy. All right, so Kimiko, welcome. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. So we have you all the way from the great state of Georgia, correct?
Correct. I am in Georgia.
And we have your husband, Mark. How's it going, Mark?
Wonderful. Thank you. How are you?
Good. And your son, Anthony, who's currently in Arizona, correct?
Yes. Yes,
indeed. Yep. I'm here. Okay.
Good. Well, it's good to have you guys on. We appreciate it. And
absolutely.
So can we start off with just a little introduction, a little bit about your family, about your homeschooling background, and a little bit about your business, because you're also an entrepreneur, correct?
That is correct. So by way of background, Mark and I have 5 children. Anthony is the eldest of 5. We have 4 sons and 1 daughter. We've been homeschooling for 20 years now. And now the children are older, right? So the youngest is 13 now, and she is the girl. And we started homeschooling when Anthony was 11 years old. And the reasons why, as you read in my post, is that really he was having lots of challenges in school. We both worked in corporate America at the time. At that time, we just had 2 children, so him and our second son. And it was just a series of events that led us to make the crazy decision to homeschool, because we knew nothing about it. It wasn't like I knew I was going to homeschool. I'd never even heard of homeschooling. It was just that my son was having struggles, and I was like, the school system is telling me he needs to be on medication, and that he was a behavior problem, and all these things that it were like, it just didn't register with me. I was like, you have got to be talking about somebody else. This is not my child. I don't know what y'all are doing. You know, my position was all of y'all are crazy, and I'm not giving my son drugs. When they said that he needed to be put on drugs, I was like, no. So we, you know, because I refused that, and there were a couple other things. I would say the straw that broke the camel's back for me was when I came home from work, went to after school to pick him up. And just fast story, the kids and the after school teacher were playing a video game, of which Anthony never had video games. We just didn't have video games, and I didn't allow him to watch videos. It was all sorts of things. He'll tell you he wasn't allowed to play with guns. It was like, no, you're not doing any of this stuff. I don't care what they're all doing. We're not doing that. But they were playing this game that when I heard the name, it literally like sent chills through my spine. And that particular game was Grand Theft Auto in middle school. Yeah. As an entertainment for after school kids. It literally blew me away. And then when I went to I said to the teacher, why are y'all playing this game? I didn't even know what the game was. I just knew the name was so disturbing to me. The teacher told me, oh, this is, kids play this. This is normal. I said, no, well, my kid doesn't play this. I went to the director of the program and I was like, your teachers are teaching children to play games called Grand Theft Auto. What do you have to say about that? Like, I just knew she was going to like fire the guy. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, that's normal. The kids play that. I said, okay. I'm wasting time with you guys because I'm trying to fight a system that really we don't agree, right? We just were like on 2 separate planes. And I was quite disturbed by that, as well as, you know, telling me he needed a medication. It's just all those things led to like, okay, we need to just take him out. We'll figure something else out. And my mom was really the one and was like, well, you could just teach him yourself. And I was like, no, right? And so that's really how the homeschooling journey began. Really, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now in the middle of all this, are you also running a business?
So at that time, that was not me. I was working corporate, right? I was working a corporate job. My husband here was the one running the business or his individual business. I fast forward like later on, because as I began to transition home and then, you know, the loss of one whole income mm-hmm. had us shifting, like, what else can we do? What other ways can I make money? And because I, at that time, my stress level was on 10, my husband introduced me to this thing called yoga, which I was like, what is that? Again, foreign, like, I know, I'm like, I don't even know what this is, but
got so Mark it. Introduced you to that?
He did.
Mark wow.
But because he read about it, he was like, I think you need to go to a yoga class. Because he read that it was calming and that it would relieve stress. And he was like, what can I do to help you? Like, go to this. This looks good. He read it was like a local yoga class at the local high school. And I was like, well, I'm willing to try anything. Because seriously, like, my stress levels were super high from work, from dealing with what we were dealing with Anthony.
We were also both members of a gym, a local gym that offered yoga. And I had never participated, but I'd see it across the floor as I was working out. Mm-hmm. And so I suggested, you know, those people look very calm and they don't look like very much stress in their life. So, honey, this might be something to try. And that's how it started.
And so I was like, fine. And because I'm like that, like, I'll try something once, or I'm pretty easy about, you know, trying new things. And I just tried it and I really just fell in love with it. So, you know, I was practicing and the teacher in me, I was teaching friends, and that evolved into something quite naturally as a business. Really, the business that I run today has been ongoing just for the past 3 years. I mean, I really got, because not only do I offer the service of yoga, but I also brew and sell my own brand of kombucha.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now I'm like full-fledged business, and now I don't have babies anymore. So I can dedicate time like that to a business, because it's very difficult to run a business and have young children. Mm-hmm. And as you guys have children, so I'm sure you know, it's like,
it's very difficult to do anything with young children. never mind run a business.
You are so right.
And like, take a shower.
Like, go to the bathroom. Yeah, like, exactly. And people say that all the time. Like, how did you have 5 kids and do all the things that you did? You know what I say? I didn't think a lot about it, because if I started thinking about all the things that I was doing and had to do with all these little children around, I probably wouldn't have got very much done.
Yeah. So we hear how you felt, Kamiko, which was, this was not on your radar, and it was very stressful. So when your mom, you said your mom planted the seed to homeschool.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the idea of homeschooling?
So my first response was no. it wasn't really for what I thought at that time was experimentation, right? Because I came up in an environment where school was what you do. Yep. And, you know, having babies at the hospital was what you do. We later decided to, home birth, which is another story. So I was pretty traditional in my thinking. And she said, well, why don't you just, you know, you like to have a marketing company, you do all this research. Why don't you just research the value, the benefit of homeschooling? And it was like, okay, let's, you know. So when you look at the numbers, it really became pretty simple, because the number of hours spent in the classroom, actually doing academics in most schools, is only about 2 or 3 hours a day. And so if you complete that by lunchtime, it followed that, you know, these students would perform at a higher level, which statistically did academically, because they were doing just more academics during the course of the day, mm-hmm. separate from having them free time and the love and the environment and all the nurturing That made sense. So after the research piece, I was completely on board. And it didn't really make much difference anyway, because she had already made up her mind.
That's usually how it works.
It's like, we're just doing this. Just come on and you'll be okay. Just watch, right? And then, really, it was like that. And honestly, when we first started, I really threw out the idea of having to complete worksheets and schoolwork, right? And just, we spent every day at the library. And Anthony, he's always been one who's loved like fast cars and motorcycles and planes, and he's wanted to fly. And so I just let him look at things that interested him, because the big thing was he was not really wanting to read, which was disturbing to me, right? Because I'm such an avid reader. I love books. We're educated people. We're like, why doesn't this kid love to read? This is crazy. And so I just let him look at picture books of motorcycles and whatever he wanted to look at that was of interest to him, because we spent the whole day in the children's section. And one day he asked me what something said, like what the caption said under the picture. And that's where we started learning to read again. Because I said, oh, that's great. Like you want to know what that, I said, I think you can tell me what that says. And we started working through reading. But it wasn't about school, right? It was just really getting him to re-engage with the act of learning. That was my biggest goal. I said, if I can accomplish that this year, I don't care what he does. I don't care what school he goes to. And so it just kind of kept going like that. It was like, he was interested in this. Okay, we're going to give you what you're interested in. And while he was looking at books, I was kind of trying to work my little corporate job. But at the same time, I was getting all these books on homeschooling, because there was a ton of books on homeschooling in the library. But because that topic wasn't on my radar, I had never even looked at any books like that. But once I started digging into it and what this homeschooling was and resources and all that, we just took off from there. Yeah.
Wow. If only most homeschooling parents started with that thinking like you did, I feel like they would enjoy the journey much sooner. Mm-hmm. Because it's very difficult to kind of de-school you're as parents what you think learning should be, because it's what most of us, all we've ever known. I mean, even Nathan and I, it's all we've ever known. Nobody in our circle of family and friends homeschooled, so we were the first ones to take the leap.
Yeah,
we didn't know what we were doing, so
right. And people are like, what are you doing, and what about socialization? I was like, you know what, the socialization that goes on in schools is negative as far as I'm concerned, so he's gonna get more positive socialization outside of that environment. But honestly, it wasn't, so I understood as I began to sort of unpack all this homeschooling, the reading materials, et cetera, that the idea is not to bring school home, but to school at home. So what is that? And what that means for every child can be different, and it's okay. But we it's just so interesting how, as you know, we're very conditioned to believe that, you know, in order to learn, you have to be at school. Mm-hmm. And so once I kind of got rid of that and said, you know, but I've never been one I'm a bit of a rule breaker. So I'm like, whatever, we're gonna create our own way. And that's really, it's so part of that in me that wanted to just like buck the system and mm-hmm. say, you know what, you are not going to medicate my kid. He is capable of learning. You're telling me he can't learn. He's a behavior problem. I'm not sure what y'all are doing, but I know that I love him. We have his best interests at heart. So it was really more like, you know, that mama bear protection mode that we go into. It's like, you're not going to steal him. I'm thinking like, y'all going to try to drug my son. And I probably was making up stories in my head, but that's really where it was. That's really how it happened. Yeah.
You were being a great advocate for him. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Really advocating for him.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony, so you were 11. How did you feel about this decision?
So I was excited, really, because, you know, I didn't have to wake up and get on the bus in the cold in New Jersey, you know, in the wintertime. You know, I could be done in the afternoon and not have to, like, you know, be stuck at a desk all day. So all the, like, strict structural limitations were kind of removed right away. And that felt kind of freeing in a sense. You know, we're going to the library, kind of just getting out in the world and seeing, you know, as a kid, like when you're stuck at a desk in school all day, you're like, well, what do grownups do? Like, what's happening outside the window that I'm looking out of in this classroom? So like being out in the world was kind of interesting to me. And then like my mom said, just going to the library, getting to just pick out different books that I found interesting and just could read about whatever, it kind of just opened up a bunch of new doors. So, you know, in my eyes, I thought it was really interesting. And I was kind of excited for, you know, kind of just a new journey ahead.
I think it's a good point, because what we found too, and a big part of homeschooling, I'm sure you can attest to that, Kimiko, is that when we're all in school, growing up in school, a lot of us hate the education system because we're learning things that don't interest us whatsoever. So right. You kind of turn away from learning, and learning and school are two very different things.
Yes.
And we found that too with our son, is that when we gave him the option to learn about things that he was interested in, or, hey, look, we need to read today, but go ahead and pick out a subject that you want. Mm-hmm. The love for learning just got cranked up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point. So that's awesome that something you took away from being homeschooled.
I will also say to Nathan that one of the things that I knew, another topic I knew nothing about, was learning styles. And as we progressed through this, what I learned and realized that Anthony was, the reason why he was struggling so much was his learning style is kinesthetic. You know, he's tactile. Mm-hmm. So he likes to have his hands on things, touching things. He was very good at taking things apart and putting them back together. He loved Marks. We started buying him what are those things? The model motorcycles, the kits, you know, the things that you can put together and take apart, trucks. He learned, I mean, every year I would get the, you know, Hess is a big company in New Jersey. So the Hess truck. So we had every Hess truck and all, you know what I mean? He loved that because he loved just putting his hands on stuff and moving it and making sounds. And that is not conducive behavior in a classroom. So just his need to move and touch was creating this quote unquote behavior problem, because he was not sitting down and he was not listening and he kept dropping his pencil on the floor and he was looking out the window and all these things. And they were like, well, he's just a behavior problem. I'm like, well, I don't know what y'all are doing. Like, I even asked if I can come sit in the classroom and watch. And they were like, oh no, that would be too distracting. I was like, no. Yeah, I'm a distraction, right? So it was things like that. But I say that to say that one of the key things that I learned was about learning styles. And when I realized that Anthony was this, what they named as a kinesthetic or tactile learner, everything just changed. Everything mm-hmm. we did science experiments, we did, so all the integrated learning, the math, the science, the reading, right, were all incorporated into the things that we did versus just worksheets. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, those are the best, absolutely. Yes. Did you do that with all your children?
Yes, I did. Yeah, learning from using Anthony as a model. Yeah. Everybody just got in. Cause then when the babies were little, like they were right there, like in the science experiments. I mean, yeah, they all just kind of naturally were born into it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have three. The youngest is still three. So he, you know, all about play, but
yeah,
our older two are very different learners. And we always wonder if our 6-year-old, which is the son that we were talking about, if he was in school, I have a feeling we'd get phone calls all the time. So he's the same way. And it's, you know, and you realize that it is, it's, they just need this, a different setting. They are still smart kids. They're capable of so much. And he has this desire to want to learn, but not in that setting at all.
That's correct. Anthony
was on his little league football team, and his coach was a medical doctor that was also a holistic doctor who homeschooled his children. And I think we just learned so much from him and from his approach to education. One of the key things was to follow the child.
Yeah.
And it was really not, here's the agenda for today, we're going to learn math today. We're going to learn American history today. We're going to learn something. It was to follow the child, which is kind of what Kimiko was talking about in terms of identifying, allowing them to determine and share with you what their interests are, and then follow the child. I remember going to the doctor's office once, and his daughter was playing the piano. It's in the middle of the day, and you know, and it's like, oh, she's not in school. Oh, yeah, she's homeschooling, and right now she's in an art phase, right? So she draws, she plays the piano. I said, well, what about her math and science and reading? And she's like, well, no, not right now, that part of her brain. And he got into all the science of the development of the brain. I was like, wow, this is really fascinating. But the whole point of following the child, I think, is something that obviously with the number of students, the teacher-student ratio, our schools simply can't do that, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, exactly.
One teacher, that teacher is either kinesthetically, visually, or auditorily based. And so if there's 21 students, chances are he or she is going to connect with seven of them, the best. Mm-hmm. Those others, you know, obviously we're a combination of all three, but, you know, there's a gap, there's a miss.
Yes.
And so in this case, with homeschooling, you get to kind of say, oh, this child is kinesthetic, this child is visual. And then as parents, the work is on us to say, okay, now I've got to modify the educational process because this child is visually a visual learner. I got to modify the process because this child is an auditory learner, mm-hmm. right? So it does more work to some degree on the parent, but I think it kind of, at the end of the day, it certainly can pay off for the child and the family.
Homeschooling is a beautiful sacrifice, but it is a sacrifice. So what obstacles or struggles did you guys have? And this can be for both of you and Anthony, if you even, you know, being a child in a homeschooling family, if there were any mm-hmm. obstacles or struggles along the way.
Let's see, obstacles. I mean, obviously, you know, being around classmates and stuff like that on a daily basis, you know, they would ask me sometimes, oh, you know, I didn't see you, like, where you been? You know, we're not, I would wait for them to get off, you know, get out from school at 3 p.m. and then we could hang out. But, so yeah, there was kind of that disconnect and you kind of distance, but it kind of helped foster the independent aspect of kind of myself and personality. I can just be on my own and be okay. You know, a lot of people have struggles with that. So yeah, the independent aspect was good, but definitely a struggle in the beginning to get used to after being, you know, in school for so many years. And yeah, just finding, you know, it just takes some time to just find like the groove and the flow of how things are supposed to go, getting out in different networks. And once I think my mom started like reaching out to other groups and stuff, and we started like getting into sports, because I was always a big athlete, and I, you know, still am. I played football pretty much my whole life, but, you know, trying to find homeschool basketball league, homeschool, you know, baseball teams, and just recreational stuff that I could still get into and participate in, and not feel, you know, kind of like left out a little bit as far as that goes, all the extracurricular activities. But, you know, my parents kept me busy for sure, and, you know, it wasn't a lack of activities. But I think just finding the footing there and just kind of getting into the groove and meeting other people who were doing the same thing kind of give you that, or gave me the insight, like, oh, okay, like what we're doing isn't that unusual. Like there's a lot of other people who do this as well. So yeah, I think from my perspective, that's how I look at it.
One of the key struggles, I think, was basically just finding some kind of balance, because everything just ran together. We were together all the time. And so again, just understanding or learning how to create some boundaries around when to start, when to stop, when, you know, when it's school, when it's home, when, you know, those sorts of things. The other thing that was a real challenge was finding kids his age who mm-hmm. were home. There were very few children his age that he could play with during the day. You know, one of the things I knew and learned, you know, for my younger son at the time, it was easy to find other little kids at home and to create play dates and things like that. But the older siblings were in school. And so it was hard to find, you know, as children get older in the homeschool realm, it's harder to find other children who are homeschooling their age. At least it was then, right? I found that to be the problem here, because at the time we were living in New Jersey. We moved down to the Atlanta area when Anthony was 14 years old. So several years later, we came down to Georgia, which Georgia, so in New Jersey was not as friendly. Anthony, can you put your phone on mute, please? Yes, Zoom etiquette, mute. Thank you. Okay. Still gotta be the mama. Okay. But New Jersey wasn't as homeschool friendly. Georgia is much more homeschool friendly, if you will. And when we came to Georgia, we found a much larger homeschooling community. Mm. And you know, so, you know, the transition, but again, once again, finding kids his age was the biggest challenge, because the older they are, the less there are kids who homeschool. But I did find a wonderful community here in Georgia, and Anthony got involved in something called Science Olympiad. You guys may know about Science Olympiad. I don't know if you do, but yeah. Great program. You should check out Science Olympiad.
I'm gonna write it down.
Yes, wonderful program. And once we found Science Olympiad, you know, we found kids his age, because Science Olympiad, you know, the children are grouped together by age and they compete in different science competitions and things like that. So, and that's specifically for homeschoolers. So it was wonderful.
That is great. Yeah. I'd say the two struggles for us or obstacles were, like you guys had mentioned earlier, we were used to two income family. So the first biggest decision was, are we going to be okay when I drop my job? And I was a registered nurse. So it was a significant amount of money as well for what we were used to.
Right.
So yes, that's the first obstacle we faced, but we're doing it and we think it's totally worth it. And then the second was that, just making sure that we have, it's not that you can't socialize, but just figuring out those ways. It's like you guys said, the parent has a little bit more homework to do when you become a homeschooling parent, but it's, again, worth the effort. And for me, it's been, I wanted to find different areas where they could socialize, but then also something where they could maybe be with the same group of friends on a weekly basis, so they got to know those same group of friends.
Right.
And we figured it out all last year with the co-op, and then this year with COVID, it's kind of thrown us another obstacle.
So. Yeah, this is real creative right now. So I feel for you guys, because you know, my kids, obviously they're much older now. We got one, his third brother just left for a full, like he's in college now. So the number three son went to college this year, and he is a full, I didn't even write about him, Anita. So he's a full scholarship recipient to Johns Hopkins University.
Wow. Which we're going to talk about Anthony coming up here, but my goodness. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, and you know, he homeschooled from birth. In fact, he was my first home birth child. He homeschooled from birth to 10th grade. And from 10th grade, he started college classes.
You're doing something right.
So I think there's another key challenge. And that is that, you know, being a teacher is a pretty powerful thing, right? Not everyone is cut out to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is cut out to be an educational guide. Mm-hmm. And Kamiko really loves learning and loves teaching. And I think certainly she could have fit very well if she had chosen a career in teaching, because she loves to read and herself, just to educate herself. So educating the children became a natural extension of that, right? It's one thing if you, you know, you have to learn the teacher plan so that you can teach the children. It's another thing if you learn the teacher plan because you're just interested in it and it's good stuff, right? And you're just excited about learning. Well, that energy and that enthusiasm kind of dominates the household or the room. And so with all fairness, not all parents really are equipped with the natural inclination and the enthusiasm that is required to be a homeschooling, you know, a homeschooling mom, if you will. It has been my observation, because I've seen a lot of other, again, in Georgia, there are a lot more homeschooling networks and environments. And I, with all due respect, some of the parents I've met, you know, they don't, the homeschooling is not a benefit to the child, because that's not who they are. And if the parent, their skills are just someplace else, mm-hmm. that can be great, but just by definition of I want to homeschool, that doesn't make you a good homeschool teacher, because I'm willing to live on a single income house in a single income household. That's not enough, right? It takes more than that.
It does.
And right. She had to study. She had to educate herself on how to become an educator.
Yes.
And like, why are you taking these taking classes to teach? And like, this is more than we signed up for. But that's what she was enthusiastic about.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing is there's mathematically, you know, I think once you get to 1.5 children or something, depending upon their age, it actually is more economical. If they're at an age, you look at the cost of childcare.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at the cost of private school, right? There was a study, at some point, it makes sense, right? Because if you're earning whatever, as a nurse or at Merrill Lynch, whatever that number is, and then you multiply two private school or two childcare tuitions for a year, you're breaking even at some point.
Yeah.
And so there's an economic element of that. And even with COVID-19, given that many states and many environments, the child has to stay home to remote learn, now we're talking about a whole another layer of childcare.
Yeah.
And this particular article was saying that, you know, it's more expensive than college tuition. It can be more expensive. Childcare can compete with the cost of college tuition. If you look at it, it really can get very expensive. So if that's the end, you don't get student loans.
Right.
So there's a lot of economic elements of this as well. As well as I think that the parent needs to make sure that that's something that they're enthusiastic. It's not just enough to love your child, not just enough to single income house. You really have to have a desire to learn and to educate. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we've been fortunate with, because that's really who Kumiko is.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been like, I'm gonna learn. Like I knew that I didn't know everything. So I would read their things and study with them, and we would have discussions and all that kind of thing. So we really did learn alongside one another. That was our way of learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how I feel, learning alongside with them. But I've never been so excited about learning until I became a homeschooling parent. Like I love it too. It's different. It is when it's child led and interest led. All of a sudden you're open to it.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, Anita, I've always loved school. I was a great student. I was ahead of myself. Like I graduated high school when I was 16. I'm a product of public school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had wonderful teachers coming up. I grew up in New York City public school system. I had a great K-12 education. I really, really did. That was one of the things that was so disturbing for me with my son. I was like, everybody loves school. Like, I love school. Who doesn't love school? School is fun, right? I had friends and I played and I learned and I was like excited about learning. And that was really like counterintuitive to who I was. So that really was something that really drove me. Like, he's got to love learning. That was like my mission. Like, this kid has to learn how to love. If I don't do anything else, he's going to learn to love learning. Yeah. That was me. Yeah.
Whether he likes it or not.
That's right. You're going to have fun whether you like it or not.
That's right. I am the fun police.
Yes.
Anthony's laughing. He knows he likes to have fun too, right? Don't you, Anthony? He's taking it now. I don't need to do it anymore.
Well, I think this is a good transition to, so you mentioned, Mark, that it's just not enough, you know, to just want to do this. There's a lot that goes into it. You know, a lot of people that haven't done this or are, you know, haven't got to the point where they have a child graduating, like we, like us, you always wonder, no matter how well you think you're doing, you always wonder, is this going to work out and is the child going to be successful? So you already mentioned one of your children has a full ride to John Hopkins, but he's not here today. So we have Anthony here today. So Anthony, can you tell us after graduating high school, homeschooling?
Yeah.
Can you tell us kind of your life's path after you left school, left home?
Hey, I think it got more interesting after I left high school. Initially, I did go to college for about a year and a half at Tuskegee University, and that for me, getting out of the house and kind of just a whole new environment, it was like a new set of freedom. And I did not honestly do that great my first year in school. So it was kind of, you know, a reality check in a way, and just kind of hit the reset button on myself and just reprioritize what my goals were. So after I did the year and a half and I was like, well, this isn't going so well, I always knew like what my ultimate goal was to, you know, fly. I had been interested in the Air Force for a while and I was like, well, I think I should join now and I'll just, you know, work my way up. So that's how I happened. And so yeah, I went from school for one year and then I joined the Air Force as an enlisted person, enlisted airman back in 2011. And I've been in ever since. So that went really well. And then I really just excelled from the beginning, like graduated top of my class in basic training. I, you know, I just did really well starting out in my first career. And then from there, I was like, okay, well, this isn't my ultimate goal. I'm doing well here, but I still want to fly. So I took that enthusiasm and just work ethic and kind of, you know, ended up going back to school. So I finished at Arizona State. I went back to school full time for 3 years. I got my bachelor's degree in criminal justice sociology. And then I went back to the Air Force as an officer and became a pilot. So I just graduated pilot training this past week, actually.
And wow, congratulations.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, it's been a journey. So getting back into the officer side of things and getting a pilot slot was obviously the ultimate goal, but I ended up getting selected for the Air Force's new experimental program called Pilot Training Next, which basically is their new initiative to try to shorten the pilot training timeline, because normally in the Air Force, it takes about a year and a half to create a pilot from 0 hours to fully train. And I did it in 7 months. So, doing that, it's been, it was, you know, accelerated. It was definitely a lot of work, but all worthwhile in the end. And, you know, I can attribute all of that kind of home. And it's really self-paced, you know, all the same kind of homeschooling tactics were kind of implemented in this program. So they gave you all the material up front, and it's kind of incumbent upon yourself to read into it, find out what's important, go back to your instructors and ask questions, you know, be prepared for each of your flights and lessons. And I did all those things, you know, with my homeschooling background, and kind of helped me in that area. I think, you know, we definitely had each of us had struggles, like all my classmates and myself included, but I think I was able to kind of, you know, prevail and push through all that based on the foundation I had from homeschooling.
Well, a big part of homeschooling, and I'm sure that this happened with you as well, is self-directed learning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
for and sure. So are you saying that helped you out when you're training to become a pilot?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's endless amount of documents, endless amount of reading you can do. You know, the learning process is never over, and that's the same way it is in homeschooling or in life in general. But definitely in pilot training, for sure. There's always more to know, always more questions to ask. So, you know, being able to take it upon yourself to go on that journey of learning and, you know, really push yourself, you know, all that stuff is incorporated from the Homeschool Foundation. So definitely, it definitely helped.
I love hearing that. I'm not kidding. I got like teary eyes. Like, I am just hoping that when our kids get to that stage that they can say that and realize that is a beautiful thing. And I know that your parents are so proud hearing that right now. Like, it just, I feel like wraps it all up, like done good.
Yeah. So two pieces about Anthony's story. I want to help jar his memory. Number one is that he was that year and a half that he was in college, he was in Air Force ROTC. So he, you know, the plan was for him to go to college, do his undergrad and graduate as a second lieutenant. Cause that's if you're in ROTC, that's what happens if you're planning to go military. But after that year and a half, and he was, as I was saying, fooling around and wasting our money. We were like, no, this is not, you're just going to go to the Air Force. Now, when Anthony came home, that was the December of 2010, right, Anthony? Was it December 2010? Yeah. When he came home December 2010, he was like, okay, so you know what? your plans were to go to the Air Force, you're just going to go to the Air Force. Anthony's response to me, he leaves that, I just decide. Anthony told me he had to think about it. You see how you laughed, Anita? I laughed just like that. I said, okay, thought about it. Let's go. We're going to the Air Force. That's what we're doing. That's what you're doing. So I kind of fast-paced that decision because really, I mean, in all seriousness, really just said, Anthony, listen, you've always wanted to go to the Air Force. Perhaps you should go. You may not just, college is not for you right now. Clearly, you've demonstrated that, and that's okay. No problem, but we're going to move on. We're not going to wait. You're going to go ahead. He said, no, I'm not, mom, I want to think about it. I said, no, there's no more thinking about it. You're going to go on. And so when he did really go in and he just excelled from the very beginning. Like he was top of his class in basic and he just went on and on from there. He's had some amazing mentors, I would say, through his Air Force journey as well. One of the generals pinned his bars. He had a colonel who also has been behind him. He's had some, I mean, I just think, and again, from his ability to learn and to learn as he goes and have this love and quest of learning, people have gravitated towards him and helped support his journey along the way. He's a hardworking kid, he really is, and he puts the work and the effort in. But he needed a little nudge right in the beginning. But once I was like, no, you're gone, son, because we're not working in the mall. We're not, you know, yeah, your room is gone. It's time, you know, you need to go. Right? So that's just the one piece of story that's real critical, Anthony. You got to remember to tell that part of the story.
No, it's good, like, for parents to hear. That's great.
Yes. Because he was upset. He was like, no, but I'm not ready. I said, you are ready. Mm-hmm. You just have faith. Be confident. You can do this, and I'm going to help you. And you know what? Let's just, because again, we'll try it. If it doesn't work out, that's okay. But you're going to go try this. You're going to go to basic. And you know, I really think Anthony did very well in the military because it's a structured entity, an organization, right? You go in, yes. It's a lot of structure in the military. So he thrived in that structure because he came from a very structured home, right? He really knew how to do things. He had skills. He knew how to do chores. You know, a lot of the kids, it's so amazing, but, and even I'll never forget this, the master sergeants and his trainers and things, they were like, oh my gosh, Anthony knows. He was the leader in his little grouping, I guess you call it the battalion or whatever. They made him a leader because he knew how to fold clothes. I'm like, who doesn't know how to fold clothes? But he had to spend time learning how to fold clothes. So his clothes were like perfect. I mean, when he got out of basic training, he folded clothes better than I ever taught him. Because it's like he took those things he learned at home. He knew how to wash dishes and
life skills.
Yeah, life skills. I'm like that. Hopefully every child leaves home with some life skills. So I think, you know, with some life skills at home, what you give them as parents and, you know, what you teach them and the love that you pour into them, you will see that. They will see that because we talk about that. And now that he's an adult, he's out in the world. He says, yeah, mom, all the things, you know, you used to tell me. I was like, yeah, I know. So this is why I made you wash all those dishes. But yeah, so that structure really was very important. So I would encourage and advise parents to give your children structure. And I will say one of the things that I think the reason why I feel like in hindsight, Anthony was not as successful when he first went off to college was because I'm going to take responsibility because, you know, we have to own our own behaviors. I did to get him into college, right? Like I was filling out his applications and on the other side of homeschooling, I see a lot of moms. I was like this myself. We just do too much. Mm-hmm. Like we wake them up. Oh, it's time to get up. You're going to be late. I'm like, at a certain age, the child should know how to get up on their own. You've got to create that. You've got to help them to learn how to become independent as soon as they are able. So what I know now and what I've taught our, you know, the younger children behind them is the things that they are capable of doing for themselves, we allow them. We actually cripple them when we do it for them. When we pick up their plates, when we walk, you know, we clean up their rooms, make up their beds, wake them up when it's time to get up. That's that can be detrimental to a child. And so the one, his brother that I was referring to that went on a full scholarship, he got that full scholarship literally on his own. He did everything to get his full scholarship. I mean, of course, we, again, gave him the platform, the support at home. You need a supportive family. If you're going to achieve anything, you have to have support. Yes. You don't achieve anything by yourself. Nobody does. Yep. So, you know, they have a strong family foundation. And if you give them that, they can do whatever it is that they want to do. It's giving them the support, but also giving them the reins and confidence to know that they are capable of doing things for themselves. That's the one thing I think I learned too, along the way.
You actually had a pretty good example of that. And we listened to you speak in another podcast. It was actually about your business, but you brought this up and you said, you know, at some point I had to, you know, change my mindset when it came to the responsibilities I gave to my children. You said you went out one time and they asked you what you brought for a snack. And you said, well, I brought an apple. I'm not quite sure what you brought.
Right. I did. And then like, you didn't bring me a snack. I'm like, no, you didn't think about bringing yourself a snack. I mean, it's things like that. Those little things, those lessons, I promise you, they never left again without a snack.
Yeah,
they exactly. didn't look for me, right? They didn't look
for me. Yeah, we were cracking up because they robbed me of my food all the time. And I was like, you know, and we try to teach him that, but he's like, you know, he's five, he's trying to wean or six now. He's trying to wean him into it. But I'm like, well, I brought my food, buddy. What did you bring?
Yeah, he's like, but again, you know, of course, a child that young, you kind of help. Let's think about what are you taking for your snack before you leave home, right? Because I'm taking a sandwich. What are you doing? Okay, well, I want a sandwich too. Okay, great. The bread's right there. You know, what do you like on your sandwich? Go ahead, go get the stuff and start making your sandwich, right? As opposed to let me make you a sandwich because you're faster or you can do it better or their sandwich may not look perfect or whatever have you. But those are the types of things I think are really valuable lessons that we can impart in our children at an early age.
Before we wrap it up then, I wanted to ask each of you, although I don't know, unless Kimiko, you have one more, but that was really good what you just stated there. I was going to ask each of you to give one piece of advice or encouragement to those who are thinking about homeschooling or are already homeschooling.
I would just say, you know, be open-minded. I mean, I'm coming from my perspective as a kid, but be open-minded, be open to new experiences. It's going to be non-traditional and it's a journey. So if it's not working out right away or not necessarily going the way that you might like, you know, don't be discouraged, you know, stick with it, try to find new things. And I would just say the interesting, like find things that interest you as a student. You know, I will always bring things to my mom. Oh, I like this, you know, I want to read that. Push those kind of learning objectives. And then usually, like my parents were always supportive of whatever I was trying to learn about. So yeah, as a student, push those learning objectives. Push your goals and always, I think, bounce the goal of yourself off of your parents or whoever your instructor might be. You know, they knew I wanted to go to college. They knew I wanted to be a pilot. So they always, I would be like, hey, I want to do this. Okay, well, let's do that and this. That will also help in your furthering your goal of whatever you're trying to do in the future. So, I will just have that open feedback, open communication, open-minded learning, and I think you'll be fine.
From a parent's perspective, the first thing I'll say is take good care of yourself, because in order for you to be effective and present and able for your children or in your family, your husband, you have to be in a good state for yourself. That is mentally and physically. So please practice self-care. I'm a huge self-care advocate. I believe self-care is a significant part of our healthcare. So if we would just take time and care for ourselves, we would be that much more available and able to care for others.
Yep.
And be flexible, right? Just know it's okay. If something doesn't work, shift. You don't like something, shift. I think my yoga practice has taught me a lot about flexibility, because I always say my kids, they say, I know, Mom, flexible body, flexible mind. So if you're flexible, you're flexible. It's all together. Everything works together. So self-care and flexibility. There is no perfection in this, right? Just do what makes sense. Do what's right. Like each child, and we know this, like each child is special. Each human, each individual is unique. They all have their own unique gifts and talents. Lean into those gifts and talents, right? Don't try to make them who you are. Cultivate them to be their best selves. They are not you. They're not little, this term of mini me, you know, my little mini me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't subscribe to that at all, because each one is just unique. I believe, you know, we're just as unique as a blade of grass. You know, they might all look the same together. They might all look alike or look like the parents, but inside their personalities are so very different. And finally, I'll say, I mean, there's more, it's so many things. Be a good listener, right? Listen to your children. They are great teachers, right? Even though we're teaching them and homeschooling them, they are also teaching us. Mm-hmm. And that, when I really embraced that philosophy, like I just started learning so much from my children. And so, yeah, it'll keep you young too, because when you get older, yeah, those young people, they'll keep you young.
Okay. I would add that compulsory education was started, right? Somebody started it in like 1841 or something. But before that, everybody homeschooled. And so this fear that I can't do it, or even as I mentioned earlier, it's helpful if you have a natural desire and enthusiasm, but even if you don't, you can't do much worse than love, giving your child the love. And I'm not knocking the school system, but I'm just saying the natural love that a child is going to experience at home from their parents and the environment that the parent puts them in, mm-hmm. with other, if it's a homeschooling community or whatever it is, those are all other parents who may not be educated in classical teaching and learning and education, but they love the children. And I would say that the mileage of that love is going to take you a lot further than the degrees for people who have, you know, some masters or even, you know, sometimes PhDs if you're talking about college, but don't have any children. And they know their stuff. They know the book, have the book knowledge and all that. But do they know what a child actually feels when they're, you know, going through puberty or what they're dealing with? Can you communicate? You know, can you just give them the space to grow? And you know, do you know how to listen? And most schools don't teach you to listen, unless, of course, you've taken courses in psychology, you know, and careers in psychology and things like that, sociology maybe. So I think we have to not put so much pressure on ourselves. So I can't do this, but because, you know, before it was created, and if you think about it, it's another discussion, but why was it created, right? Because if we can create a place where children can go, then we can take parents and put them to work. Well, to work for whom? To work for the people at the top so that we can keep the structure of our community, of our country and on our society, and keep the, you know, the wealthy people at the top and everybody else is workers, is really what it boils down to. In order for people to be workers, we got to do something with their kids so they can come to work and make widgets. And so if you study the actual, you know, business aspect of homeschooling and the business aspect of compulsory education and, you know, all of these are actual structures that had a purpose and somebody did it intentionally, right? And who loses at the end of the day? One might argue that we're not any further ahead. We have technology and we have a lot of, but many people argue that we're not necessarily a better society than we were before, right? When we focused on, you know, spirituality and the community, you know, whatever that community spirituality was, when we focused on the love of the home and the culture and your history, not the history that you're taught, which is something that we didn't talk about for people who are for African Americans or for Native Americans or any culture for that matter, white Americans, because there was no white, there's Italian, there's Greek. There's, you know, there's not, and then now we have this white thing that was created. So it's a whole nother conversation, but all people need to understand their culture. Mm-hmm. And to say that it's either Black or white, or Hispanic or Latinx, or that's kind of too simplifies it quite a bit. And so we have an opportunity through homeschooling to really add a cultural layer of education to that most students will not, again, you can't get that in history class. You can't get that in social studies because we have to teach. We had someone, one of the teachers said a couple of weeks ago, well, there's nothing wrong with this exercise. We've been using this. We've been doing this for years. And it was something, you know, just that we've all kind of admitted that, you know, Columbus didn't discover America and all that. But it was something along those lines of, you know, we got to come into the reality of where we are today. It's not just about Black Lives Matter or All Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. Let's dig a little deeper and see what's really going on here. And then getting into how do our children grow up feeling this way? Right? How does a person get to be where they can actually, for 8 minutes and 46 seconds, put their knees? That's where did you learn that? Right? And so if you rewind the tape and look at the educational process, we have an opportunity to teach our children at a young age to treat people the way you want to be treated,
yep.
to love other people, right? All these types of things that, you know, we kind of put under an umbrella and, you know, put into this bucket and say, okay, you got some social studies in American history and you got European history and you got this and you got that. But, you know, for many children of color, we don't have Native American history class. We don't have African American history class. We get it for 28 days maybe, but that's not enough. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, whether you're spiritually based or culturally based or, you know, whatever your, you know, family focus might want to be, there's some gaps. And again, it's not a criticism because there are limitations of the structure of a school system, mm-hmm. but that we have the opportunity as parents to really dig a little deeper and maybe make some changes through our children for the next generation.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
I think that is such a great point because we actually brought that up on our last interview, and it's a woman who runs a forest school out in Australia. Mm-hmm. And they teach the kids a lot about the Aboriginals there because the public school system fails to mention all the atrocities that happened to those people. So they try to talk about real history because it was left out of the history books. Yeah. Same anywhere you go.
Right.
When I told her, victors wrote history, and that's anywhere. And unfortunately, that means a lot of stuff got left out.
Right.
And homeschooling gives us the opportunity to kind of fix that issue and talk about what actually happened, in history and what happened in our country's history and world history. And I think that's a great point. And I think it's also gives children the opportunity to see how different cultures came about and how different, you know, issues came about.
Yeah.
And that those issues, like you said, a lot of times were put there for a reason. That's a whole nother podcast.
So we'll have to come back for another podcast.
That we could absolutely touch on. I would love to do that, but I think that's a really great point and something very important that you can deal with in homeschooling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're very proud of Anthony being living history, right? Because he actually did make Air Force history with his accomplishment of completion of the Air Force's Pilot Training Next program. So post-pandemic, we're gonna have a big old celebration. So if you guys travel to Atlanta, you're welcome to come and celebrate with us, all right?
Well deserved, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up then, right?
Yes, yeah. Anthony, I know you're on vacation. Thank you so much for joining us from Arizona. And Mark, thank you for taking your time on Labor Day weekend with us. I apologize for the interruption in the interview with the storms we're having.
Yeah. You don't control the weather, Nathan, so no apologies necessary.
I do not.
Right. Thank you. Thank y'all for having us. It's been a pleasure. We appreciate you being interested in Anthony and in our story, and we are glad to share.
Well, it's an amazing story. Really, so thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Y'all too. Absolutely. All right. Take care. All right. Bye bye now.
Bye.
Remember to visit us at the homeschoolprojectpodcast.com. And as always, let's light a fire they can't put out.